And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Welcome back to Open Lines now. We're going to have those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines as we are now into September 2nd. Unbelievable how fast this year is going by. Hey, one of the stories in the news at coasttocoastam.com that really caught my eye, a man morphed into a giant bat-like creature near Brownsville, Texas, and then simply flew away. According to witnesses, he had huge wings, almost like Mothman, but the kids said, it's a bat, it's a huge bat. And people looked at this thing, it opened its wings, climbed up a little cross, and then flew off, just like that. That's weird. But one of the things I want to do is open up the strange hotline. Those of you can call in on any line you want, but tell me the strangest story you've ever seen, in addition to whatever else you're calling about, the strangest story you've ever seen. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, your open line calls, and also let's open up a hotline for the weirdest thing you have ever seen. I would guess looking at a 6-foot guy with bat wings flying off into the sky would be kind of weird. Let's go to Bill, truck driving in Sacramento, California, on the wildcard line to get us started. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how's it going, George?
Pretty good, thank you.
Hey, I've been wondering, like, I mean, you've done stories that kind of, you know, go into detail and allude to this theory. It's called the zoo theory, that this planet is really just like a giant, you know, terrarium, for lack of a better word, or zoo, for an advanced, you know, extraterrestrial civilization that uses their technology to stay hidden or occulted. Do you really put any stock in that, or is it not interesting, or do you have an opinion on that?
Sure. I'd let you listen on your radio. That's something I've always thought about. There are so many different species of creatures on this planet. It makes you wonder, just how could this planet get so many different life forms? Are we a farm? Are we a zoo, as you would point out, by another race who simply, you know, breeds us, puts us here, and everything, birds, insects, little animals, and picks them up and, you know, drops them around on various places throughout the galaxies. Who knows? I mean, that's a possibility, that we are a breeding ground, a farm, a zoo for extraterrestrials. It's very, very possible. And I mean, just imagine all the species on this planet. It's unbelievable. Next up, we go to Jeannie in Mansfield, Ohio. Hi, Jeannie.
Hello, George. God bless you and your awesome professional staff for what you do.
You too. They're great people, aren't they?
Yes. And just a brief reminder, everybody, let's keep everybody from Harvey in our prayers and support them any way we can.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that.
Just real quick, I mean, okay, so I'm 50 years old. I'm a military wife since I was 17.
Okay.
I've lived near several bases. My ex had to do with aviation with regard to fuels. I've been on Independence Day cruises and been out on an aircraft carrier, lived near bases, including overseas, particularly in Spain.
All right. Was he Navy?
Yes.
Okay.
Aviation, boats, and mates, fuel.
Pretty good.
And so I'm just saying, I would not have believed this happened had these two ladies not been standing next to me. And I wish to this moment that I had gotten their information. But nonetheless, I'll try to make this quick because I know you have a lot of callers. I was going in the local grocery store. We live in a town that has a large reserve community as far as reserve forces.
Oh, sure.
And an aircraft wing that operates out of a local small airport. Okay, so I'm in that side of town, and I look up, and it's a cloudy day, kind of, and I see this, like, extra large aircraft, and I'm, like, I counted 25-plus windows in this, George.
25? That is a good size.
Okay, and it was passing through a cloud at the time, and I looked at these ladies next to me because they were loading their groceries in the car as well as I was. And I said, do you see that? That's kind of a big aircraft for around here. And at that moment, I kid you not, had they not been standing there, it was like somebody flipped a switch, George, and it became literally invisible, blended in with the clouds and the background color, and all you could see was the windows.
Whoa. That's weird.
And I looked at the ladies, and they looked at me at the same moment. I said, and we both said, did you just see? And we looked back just in time that it just looked like somebody flipped the switch back, and you could see the aircraft.
And you could see it again. And
I swear to you, I'm not taking drugs.
They saw this. They saw this too?
Yes, and I didn't get their information. I should have. But in this little small town of mine, to have an aircraft that large, because, I mean, this was like, compared to like a C-130 size.
Sure, that's a big plane.
But listen, I forgot to tell you the most important part.
Oh no! What?
Time out. My bad. This aircraft had no markings, no tail numbers. I mean, now granted, it had its emergency blinkers.
Right. Well, that's standard.
But there were no markings as far as advertising, and there were no tail numbers. I kid you not.
What do you think was going on here?
I think it was a test of a cloaking device. I believe it was probably military. I'm not saying it was alien.
Now, but I wonder if cloaking devices are also radar proof.
All I know is what I saw, and had I not had someone standing next to me to verify what I saw, I would have thought I just totally, like, went round the bend.
Well, you know what? They tried to cloak ships and destroyers with the Philadelphia experiment. Who's to say they don't try to cloak planes? We take your texts and tweets, and Tom's back in the L.A. studios with something. What do you got, Tom?
Let's use a text from Justin in Omaha, Nebraska. Was listening to your show with Bev Harris, and in your opinion, is there a way to make it safe for us to vote online? If not, why not?
I don't think at this point Bev Harris doesn't agree with online voting either. It sure would be convenient.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding?
What? You just sit home, register, and just cast your vote in the comfort of your home or on your smartphone. But I don't know. I think it would be more apt for hacking.
Hacking, I was just going to say that. And Lauren Weinstein, probably the guy to check out.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're on Sunday night, by the way.
We
remember
are.
Remember that.
We are.
Emerging artists, got them all picked out yet?
All set. We got some good music going.
They're great artists. How many years have we been doing this now?
This is our ninth year. And
with emerging artists.
With emerging artists. And there are so many CDs in my office. There's so much music out there.
That's really something.
It's amazing.
We're going into the holiday season pretty soon, Tom.
I can't believe it. It's August is over.
Thanksgiving will be live.
Of course.
Christmas night will be on a Monday. We'll be live.
Ho, ho, ho.
New Year's Day will be on a Monday. We'll be live.
And we're in 2018 already.
And we'll also be live if we can't get the weekend folks to work on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve. I'm coming in, but I think they may be working.
I think they're going to jump on that, George.
And then next year, we get it all during the week. The eves, the days, everything.
Hey.
Just like the old days.
Got to do it.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Bye.
Next up, we go to Perry in Santa Barbara, California. Perry, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's
always a pleasure, Perry. You're a good guy.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that, my friend. I just wanted to say, and what you just said, I really appreciate that Coast to Coast is here 7 days a week, you know, and...
Well, you know, when I came in here many years ago now, I can't believe how many years it's been, gosh, but that my pledge was no taped programs on the weekends or on holidays. We're going to give you live shows, and I got to tell you, Perry, of everything I've done on the program, I get more emails on the holiday seasons from people who are alone.
Yeah.
Because this is their family, this show, and it just is so important to them, and that's why we do it. Even if there was one person who's got to spend Thanksgiving by themselves or Christmas Day by themselves, we're going to be here for that person, and I'm not going to stop.
And I really appreciate that, because I don't know what I'd do without the show, really, because, you know, as I talked to Dr. Joe Wallach, you know, my hip went out, and I can barely walk around right now, and I'm going to try to see if I can get to the doctor. I'm barely, you know, I have good days and bad days, and I'm going to, you know, get this going and then go.
He's going to be on Thursday night, too, by the way.
Oh, he will? Oh,
yeah,
I have
so to make sure you get in.
Okay. My main point, but right before my main point, George, is that my heart really goes out to those people in Texas.
What a horrible, I can't imagine what it's like to have to leave your home, wherever you live, and displace yourself. Of course, you got to do it for your own safety.
Yes.
But what a disruption. Oh, my God. You know, this.
It is just, when you actually look at the footage, I started crying because I normally don't watch a lot of TV news, but I listen to the radio, you know, and newspapers and, you know, and stuff like that. But when I saw it, I mean, like, I started crying.
I'm impressed by the heartwarming people who have reached out to try to help all those others.
Oh, yes. I mean, that, you know, sometimes I think it's meant to be. I hate to say that, but it brings the humanity back into us, you know.
It sure does.
It inspired the whole world, actually.
It sure does. Did you watch the solar eclipse?
You know, what happened here in, I was with my parents here up in Lompoc, California, where I'm actually calling from now. I always say Santa Barbara, Perry.
Sure,
Santa Barbara.
That's your base.
That's my name. Yeah, my. it was cloudy.
Oh no!
It was overcast.
It was gorgeous here in St. Louis, which was the reason I came back to see the eclipse and my kids, and it was emotional, Perry. When you see that moon in front of the sun and that look. Oh, my God, it really got emotional. It just tells you that there's more in this universe than we think.
Oh, it really, truly is. And, you know, and I love Dr. Sky, and I love
he's the best.
That does the space science, Beyond the Black. Or
Zimmerman, you know, Bob Zimmerman.
Yeah, and I love those shows. Okay, my main point, George, is, you know, my mom has not been home for 4 years.
Right.
And she's recently recovered from a very bad lung problem.
Right. We had her on the prayer list.
Yes, and I appreciate that so much, George. You know, it's just, if I really worry about people, like, I'm sure your mother is well looked after.
She's 88. My other sister, the surviving sister, is still with her. But Mom's pretty feisty, Perry. She still drives.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. At 87, yeah. Or 88. I'm sorry. Yeah, but, you know, you've got to watch because hospitals sometimes want to give up on patients.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, though they do a pretty good job, it gets to a point where if they think, you know what, we've done all we can, I mean, yeah. why prolong the suffering? They tend to want to just move on.
Yeah, but still, they don't know Mom like Dad and I know Mom.
How old is your mother?
Well, she turned 74 June 7th, which is right around your birthday.
That's still pretty young.
Yeah, and it is just, and you got to watch these nursing facilities. I mean, she's in a good nursing facility here.
Oh, yeah, you have to screen those out. You can't,
yeah, and
you can't just plop.
They get rough with her sometimes. And
I don't like that.
And I am so glad that I am here, even though I could barely walk around the house right now. And my dad, who is pushing 80, and I'm worried about him, too, because
but you're lucky to have them both right now, Perry.
Oh, my God, and I'm there for him, for both of them right now. And I'm scared now what happened with him. He's got a nodule on one of his lungs.
I remember my dad went suddenly and relatively fast.
Mm-hmm.
I got a call from my sister during a weekday, and she said, Dad's in the hospital. He's not going to make it. And within a half hour, she called me back and said he just died.
And I
elected to do the program that night.
I know. You have to. I mean, I
did it for my own sanity.
Yeah, and, you know, I worked in radio before, and I want to get back into it when I get back on my feet again here. And so I know what you mean. You're a professional, you know, and TV news and radio. And I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It's what you do. It is who
you are. It's who I am, my friend. Perry, thanks for the call. Stay strong. I'm glad you're taking care of your mother. And good for you. Good for you. Let's go to our first-time caller, Gumaro in Palmville, Texas. Welcome to the program. Hello there, Gumaro. I hope I pronounced your name right.
Yes. Hello, Mr. George. I'm calling from Palmville, Texas.
Uh-huh.
I'm just about a mile and a half from the Rio Grande Valley.
All right.
Yeah, we just passed Hurricane Harvey about 3 days ago.
Oh, jeez.
It's been hard over here, but anyway, we're still holding. I was listening to your comments over there, and I've been listening to Coast to Coast since Art Bell in the early
90s.
In the early 90s. Yeah, I remember Hurricane Katrina. And Art Bell, wow! I was going to tell you that I had an experience in the 1988 about a UFO that was chasing me. That was a long time ago. But
what do you mean chasing you? What was happening?
Yeah. I mean, it was a big. I don't know how to describe it, but it was chasing me about almost every night. I was working as a night from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., and it was chasing me almost at night.
Were you in a car when they chased you?
Yeah, I was a security guard in a factory. And I almost saw it every night. It was actually me.
What did it look like?
It looked like from the bottom it was flat, but it had a lot of lights all around. And at this point, I'm still wondering what it was.
Now, when you say it was chasing you, was it almost like it wanted to pick you up or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. But to this date, I know it wasn't a helicopter because it doesn't make sound.
Right.
At that time, it didn't make any sound. It was above me like I was in my car, and that thing was above me like the height of a pole. And it didn't make any sound.
And you don't have any recollection of lost time or anything like that?
No. The real thing is that I don't remember it. But it made some, like, a lot of lights. Like when a police officer stops you.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of, like, blue lights, red lights, and yellow lights.
That reminds me, Gumaro, of the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I'm sure you've seen it, where they were chasing Richard Dreyfuss in his truck. It's got that same kind of flavor and feel. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take more open line calls. And welcome back to Open Lines here. Don't forget, the weirdest thing you've ever seen. Let us know about that, too. Let's go to the phones. We go to Joe in British Columbia in Canada, one of our neighbors. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
Good, Joe. How about you?
Oh, I am doing fine. Thank you.
Excellent. What's on your mind?
Well, they say hello to you. Our Sky brothers say hello to you. They are listening to you.
Tell them hi for me.
Okay. Listen, one of your callers had a question about the ETs on our solar system.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to answer him that we have about 13 to 14 kind of reptile ETs.
How do you know this?
That is what they are giving me the information.
Ah, they passed this down to you, telepathy?
Yes, there are like almost 60 kind of reptile and 40% are non-reptiles.
I've always thought the reptilians were kind of evil. Are they?
No, not all of them. They are, you see, the most dangerous reptile are the Draconis reptile. They are the most dangerous one.
Right. Is that the one that the devil was shaped after?
Most likely. They are the one who are doing animal abduction and human abduction as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, these even other ETs, other reptiles are at war with them.
Joe, how long have they been contacting you?
Oh, more than a year.
That's all?
Yes.
How did it start?
Well, I was researching about them. I read a lot of books. I did a lot of research. And then I was meditating to just get connected to them.
And it happened.
Found out I am looking for them. Finally, I got connected. So I am connected with their, like, quantum energy channel.
Do they tell you anything about the future or anything like that?
Well, if I ask them, they answer questions. They just don't tell me anything. I keep asking them, and then they answer.
Okay, but do you think they're pretty truthful when they tell you?
Most likely, yes. You see, that they are mostly like applying the philosophy on us, on humans, the wisdom of the universe. They apply the philosophy of the universe on us.
What kind of?
They like to get connected mostly to astrologers. Since I'm doing astrology to understand the universe, that is how I got connected easily to them.
What kind of questions do you ask them, Joe?
Well, about the universe, about the cosmic energy, about the philosophy of the universe. That, you see, what I found out from them, they are more superior than us, than humans.
Oh, of course.
And they understand the cosmic philosophy and cosmic wisdom. We humans don't understand the cosmic wisdom.
Not yet, but we will eventually.
No, their brain system is such a kind that they understand better than us, and they apply the universe philosophy on us.
Joe, have you asked them about what's going to happen to the planet or anything like that?
Oh, yes, yes.
What do they say?
Well, the problem we're going to have is our sun.
What's going to happen to the sun?
Well, we are entering into a high-frequency neutrinos area now. You see, the sun, our sun is traveling like at 800 kilometers per second. So the whole of our solar system is entering into a kind of field of high neutrinos. It is a kind of nebula that we are entering or we are nearing to. And these neutrinos are affecting our sun and causing our sun to eject a lot of fire.
So we could get a big X flare or something like that.
Yes, that is why we're gonna have a lot of climate warming. That is what is happening now. It happened a lot of flooding in USA.
Joe, I think you're spot on. They're giving you good information. I think that's one of the reasons why the climate is warming up a bit. It's because of the sun. Texts and tweets. Tom, what do you have this segment for us?
We're gonna go with a tweet from Kevin. Please talk about NASA and if there is a relationship with the secret space program.
Well, I don't know. Corey Good, of course, who's been on our Beyond Belief show and has his own with Gaia, mm-hmm. has talked about the secret space program. I don't necessarily think it's through NASA. I think it's on its own. It's its own space program. Now, there may be facets within NASA who are part of it, but I don't think it's NASA as a whole.
I agree with you. I don't think it's their organization. I think it's totally separate.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, thanks. Next up, we go to Mike and Shelby in North Carolina. Welcome to the show, Michael. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, good, Mike. Thanks.
Yeah, one of the weirdest things I think I've ever seen is of lately a politician telling the truth. That's really
well, weird. You know when they're lying, their lips are moving. They say,
Yeah. I truck drive, so believe me, I see a lot of that.
Oh my gosh,
especially.
What do you think of driverless trucks? I can't stand them.
No, you're you have Qualcomm. You know your boards go down. I preach this. Unfortunately, I'm psychic a lot of times, and I know what's going to happen. You got these Qualcomms, which the Qualcomm, the imaging, that's how these things are guided.
Mm-hmm.
They go out all the time. I've already had several Ubers that have wrecked, killed people, run stop signs. No, we're in trouble. I think we need a class action lawsuit to stop this because it's just going to be utter mayhem.
It's got to stop, and we need our truck drivers. We need our physical truck drivers in trucks.
Yes, we need physical drivers in vehicles. And
yep.
That's going to kill a lot of people.
I think you're right. But go ahead, Mike.
But when I was younger, we moved, two or three, we moved across from a town to West Asheville, North Carolina, right across from the old Zephyr Hills Sanatorium, which had been retired. It was a TB treatment center. Dr. Abb married his charge nurse, and they bought the place, and they lived in it until they passed on.
Okay.
Big monstrosity of a hospital. And I know then what I know now. I used to go in there with my father, and it's pretty scary. He found a lot of things. But my neighbor and I went out to the stables out back because this is long before automobiles, when they were in operation. They had stables. They had a major operation. They put the TB patients onto the wagons and took them down to the Sulphur Springs, which is the only way back then at the turn of the century to treat tuberculosis. We're walking down through there. It's a windy night, and I hear something like wood cutting, sawing, the old zzz, zzz, zzz.
Mm-hmm.
Walking along, we go through the clearing, hit the stables, and we see a guy standing there on the old sawhorse, bent over, sawing a log. And I looked at Martin. He looked at me. Like, what in the world? We said, hey. He turned around. He was intact, except he didn't have a face.
What do you mean he didn't have a face?
He didn't have a face. He was an apparition.
Jeez.
He turned around and looked at us. It was funny because he had like a toupee on where the head would have been.
Yeah.
No head, shoulders. He stopped sawing, turned around and disappeared. Said, uh-oh, that's ghost. Yeah, we know where that was. That place is haunted. I mean, you know,
jeez.
Unfortunately, I think it was a demonic activity there. It was a lot of trash coming out of that place before they tore it down. The psychic trash coming at you.
Yeah.
It was utterly horrible, and I was glad it was torn down. They built a church, thank goodness, over the site. So I think that cleansed any impurities in the area. But my main call is this. I'm a ham operator. Have been for years.
Okay.
KF4MJG is my call sign. I befriended a friend of mine who was a cryptologist in the Marine Corps, Vietnam era, and out, Riley Cumberland, KE4PNM. Riley has been deceased for a number of years now. But Riley was very instrumental in the Washington sect and Uncle Charlie of them harassing him. He would build things. He was active in the packet community. He put everything that he built out with schematics, plans, and the government couldn't stand that, and they were all the time harassing him. And he kept saying, hey, Communications Act of 1936, he got them. They kept harassing him. Except one time he called me up. He says, I need to see you now. Okay. So I came in, and he said, I had a visit from my local Men in Black the other day. I said, yeah. He says, you know, I've been studying waves and wavelets. What that is, the radio waves. He found communications within communication.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. He would study that. And they finally approached him with what he thought was a harassment call. And they said, no, we need to talk to you about your experimentation and your study in waves and wavelets. Okay. They're saying, what do you think? He said, no. He said, no, we want to know what your honest opinion on the whole subject is. So Ryder brought out his schematics. Ryder brought this. He talked to this and talked to that. And they kind of looked at him like, uh-oh. He said, what's wrong? And they said, well, Mr. Cumberland, we agree with you totally, except this. It is originating from this earth. but it is not of this earth.
Whoa.
And this is years before the underground bases have become popular.
Whoa.
This is years before the conspiracy theory or the theories of the facts that they're on this earth in Area 51.
Yeah.
They've been here for years and years and years.
Mike, do you think it was in a craft that was on the planet?
No, I actually think so. I think it's static. I think it's a base. I think it's set up somewhere.
Somewhere underground, obviously.
Devices. Yeah, I mean, we're not going to know. Well, they're going to let us know as much as they want to, is what I'm saying. We're not going to find out any more than they want us to. Our technology is not nearly as advanced as theirs. There's a reason for their communications. We don't know what it is. Maybe Washington will figure it out. Maybe not. Who knows? But they are out there, George. They are out there.
Interesting that they would even share that with him. I find that fascinating. Thanks for the call. John is with us, Oceanside, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, John, go ahead.
Hey, George. Nice talking to you.
Love you too, John. Thank you.
I've been listening for some time now. I'm about to retire from the Army, Lieutenant Colonel.
Whoa. Well, thank you for serving, sir.
Thank you, sir. I just drove back with the wife from Montana. I'm looking at starting another career in the Forest Service up there.
Oh, great. Good for you.
We didn't want to drive through Salt Lake City. We decided to take U.S. Route 93 south through eastern Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a little bit nervous here about telling the story. We got about 20 miles north of the old ghost town of Curry on 93. I saw something in the road. It was black, and it sparkled, and it turned black and sparkled. It looked like some sort of moonlight reflection on, like, wet pavement at first.
Yeah.
And then it disappeared, and it went to the left and right of the road. And my wife was driving at the time. She focused on the right side of the road, and I looked at her, and her face turned white. She said, "Oh, my God, did you see that?"
She saw that, too.
"What did you see, hon?" And she said it was thin black arms, a thin body, thin legs, and a huge head. It had to have been 10 feet tall. It was coming towards us. And at that time, she started cuffing her mouth and started to cry.
Jeez.
Slammed on the gas, started going about 90 miles an hour down 93 for about 10 miles until we get to the next small town with a truck stop. We tried to get some rest. We were trying to drive back home from Montana all the way to Oceanside last night. She was pretty shook up about it. And it shook me up myself, too, because I remember I glanced over and I saw something black. I couldn't quite make it out. It kind of reminded me like a dust devil, like a black dust devil at night. And she said she saw the full figure. And we talked it over. She's starting to calm down a little bit now. We can't tell if it's extraterrestrial or paranormal. I started doing my research on that area.
You don't think it was like a Bigfoot, though?
I don't know. I have no idea. I thought maybe someone was playing some kind of prank on us and having some sort of, you know, human-like object on the side of the road to make us stop to, you know,
right,
do a robbery or something.
Which, by the way, is stupid because anybody could take a pot shot at something like that.
That's right. So we couldn't tell what it was, what we saw. I learned later that you have the extraterrestrial highway down the road there.
That's right.
I believe Area 51 is in that location.
It's right. Well. It's right down that way.
But we've been shook up all night long.
Wow.
I love your show. I love talking about these subjects, but I'm just not that much of a believer until now. I don't know what we saw.
You may see a lot in the Montana park system.
Could be.
Good luck in the new career, John.
Okay, thank you.
Hope it all works out for you. Wow, that's something else. Time for another call? Nope, not yet. We'll just tell you a little bit to give you some notes. Connie Willis will be hosting on Saturday for us, and then I will be on Sunday, first Sunday of the month. That means some emerging artist bumper music for the first couple hours. Live program for you. I'll be on Memorial Night, so enjoy yourself. Just take it easy. Remember the great American worker, because that's what it's all about. On Labor Day. Did I say Memorial Night? No, it's Labor Day night. Wow. We're way past Memorial Night. On Labor Day, and we'll have that live program for you, and then we'll have more shows for you for the rest of the week here on Coast to Coast AM. And some footnotes, of course. Like us on Facebook, if you would, and follow us on Twitter. If you're into social media, go ahead and sign up and do that. And if you're not a Coast Insider yet, That's 15 cents a day. Simply go to coasttocoastam.com and sign up to be a Coast Insider as well. I'll be back in a moment. Another hour to go of Open Lines right here on Coast to Coast AM.